This is the Daily Update and the Daily Calendar for Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. A student pulled out a gun and shot two other students at a high school in Southeast Maryland Tuesday morning before he was fatally wounded, police say. Austin Wyatt Rollins, 17 years old, entered Great Mills High School in Great Mills at the beginning of the school day and used a semi-automatic handgun to shoot a female student in the hallway. Sheriff Tim Cameron said a male student was also shot. There is an indication that a prior relationship existed between the shooter and the female victim, Cameron said. Details on a potential motive are not yet clear. The 16-year-old female student was transferred to the ICU at UM Prince George's Hospital Center, where she has life-threatening injuries. The 14-year-old male victim is in good condition, according to the MedStar St. Mary's Hospital. Rollins had died, Cameron said. On this day, we realize our worst nightmare, that our greatest asset, our children, were being attacked in a bastion of safety and security, Cameron said. The student opened fire at 7:55 a.m. Terrence Rames, an 18-year-old student, said that he and his friends were talking in the hallway when they heard a gunshot. We were just standing there talking, and we heard like a loud shot, like a few yards away from us, Rames said. Rames said he and his friends started running to the main road outside and saw others flooding out the main entrance. The shooter and a school resource officer each fired a round, but authorities don't know if the officer's bullet killed the suspect. The officer, who Cameron identified as Blaine Gaskill, was not hurt. When the shooting took place, our armed school resource officer, who was stationed inside the school, was alerted to the event and the shots being fired. He pursued the shooter and engaged the shooter, during which that engagement he fired a round at the shooter, Cameron said. So here you have a school resource officer who is armed. Here you have another school shooting, and this officer engaged the shooter and stopped him and basically put an end to his rampage. Other people could have been killed. So what does this teach you? It teaches you that, one, you got to be able to keep these people out of the school. Number two, you have to have some kind of security guard or something in place that can stop someone like this and who are willing to engage the suspect. Not like in Florida, where you had four police officers sitting outside listening to children being killed and they refused to go in there and do anything about it. So, another school shooting, very sad. My heart goes out to the victims, but at least those people are still alive. And then that's because of the armed school resource officer. So, a package containing nails and pieces of metal destined for Austin has exploded and injured one person inside a FedEx facility in nearby San Antonio in the fifth bombing to rock the state this month. The wounded employee was taken to the hospital after suffering a mild injury in the explosion at the distribution center in Schertz, about 65 miles south of Austin, shortly after midnight. The package detonated as it was moving from one conveyor belt to another, and the female staff member, who was not hit by the contents, was treated after she reported feeling ringing in her ears. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton told the KXAN TV station that the bomb had been mailed from Austin and was addressed to a home in Austin. Federal agents say the package is likely linked to four other attacks this month in Austin, some 80 miles northeast of San Antonio, that have left two people dead and four injured. Authorities say a serial bomber is at large and have warned that the devices appear to be getting more sophisticated. Just hours after the package explosion in San Antonio, emergency crews were called to a FedEx facility in Austin following reports of a suspicious package. There were no immediate details about that incident. So this is a mad bomber on the loose. And then when situations like this happen, you also have copycats that come out and try the same type of stuff. So don't be surprised if you see this in other places. People are on the edge, being pushed over the edge in a divisive society, and then this is what happens. You have the crazies coming out of the woodwork. They're going to have to try to find this person, which is very difficult, which means you have to look for fingerprints or any kind of DNA evidence off of the bombs, and it is a real search, a forensic search. So hopefully they're going to do it quick. They will catch him, no doubt, but Be aware, if you get a suspicious package, no matter where you are, or if there's a package that you didn't order in your mailbox, don't mess with it, don't touch it, and then call the authorities if you think that you have something truly to report. So, the Federal Trade Commission is investigating whether the use of personal data from 50 million Facebook users by Cambridge Analytica violated a consent decree the tech company signed with the agency in 2011. The probe follows a weekend of turmoil for the social media giant. Reports this weekend said the research firm improperly gained access to the data of more than 50 million Facebook users. We are aware of the issues that have been raised, but cannot comment on whether we are investigating. We take any allegations of violations of our consent decrees very seriously, as we did in 2012 in a privacy case involving Google, a spokesman for the FTC said Tuesday. Facebook said Tuesday it expected to receive a letter from the FTC with questions, but has not been informed of a formal probe. A violation of the consent decree could carry a penalty of $40,000 per violation, which could mean a fine conservatively estimated to be many millions of dollars in fines for Facebook. Facebook will brief members of congressional intelligence committees, commerce committees, and judiciary committees Tuesday and Wednesday. Facebook has maintained the mishandling of data was a result of abuse on the part of Cambridge Analytica and app developer Alexander Kogan. We reject any suggestion of violation of the consent decree. We respect the privacy settings that people had in place. Privacy and data protections are fundamental to every decision we make, Facebook said in a statement to the Post on Saturday. The consent decree requires that Facebook notify users to receive explicit permissions before sharing personal data beyond their specified privacy settings. So I'm going to tell you this about privacy settings. Number one, they don't mean anything. And Facebook doesn't care. And Zuckerberg, he himself, had told a friend many years ago that he couldn't believe how stupid, and this is his words, how stupid people were for giving up all of their personal information. So on Facebook, you see a lot of questionnaires. You see a lot of stuff out there. They target, advertise. They use that data. They sell that data. They make a lot of money off of that data, and they don't care. Then they say, well, go into your privacy settings. I'll tell you, those privacy settings for a lot of people out there are overwhelming. They don't even know what to do or what to click, not even have it explained to them. So Facebook is just another big, giant corporation abusing and using people. It's as simple as that. And they take this information and they sell it, just like they took money from Russians for American political ads. When they were being grilled by Congress, the spokesman for Facebook said, well, we didn't know. And then a congressional official said, hey, but they paid you in rubles. And they bought both political ads for Hillary and for Trump and against Hillary and against Trump. So you decide who the people are who are full of it, right? So, a self-driving Uber Volvo XC90 SUV killed 49-year-old Elaine Hertzberg as she walked her bicycle across the street in Tempe, Arizona Sunday night, according to Tempe Police Department. Based on preliminary information, the car was going approximately 40 miles an hour in the 35-mile-per-hour zone, according to Tempe Police Detective Lily Duran. Rafael Vasquez, a 44-year-old test driver from Uber, was behind the wheel of the car at the time. The department is investigating the crash. Police say that the investigation so far does not indicate the SUV slowed down before hitting Hertzberg. The car was in autonomous mode at the time of the crash, police said. Autonomous mode means the car is driving on its own. During tests, a person sits behind the wheel as a safeguard. There were no signs Vasquez was impaired after the collision, Sergeant Ronald Elcock, a Tempe police spokesman, said in a press conference. Uber said it has stopped testing self-driving vehicles throughout the United States and Canada. It's currently conducting autonomous vehicle tests in Arizona, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and other areas. In a statement, Uber said it is fully cooperating with local officials. Our hearts go out to the victim's family. In addition to the Tempe Police Department, the National Transportation Safety Board said it is launching an investigation. The Maricopa County District Attorney's Office will ultimately determine whether any charges will be filed in the crash. Arizona is an incubator of self-driving car tests. Earlier this month, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey updated an executive order to allow self-driving cars to drive on state roads without a test driver behind the wheel. Arizona has little inclement weather. This makes it more appealing for self-driving cars, which have less experience in rain or during snowfall. Waymo, the self-driving arm of Google's parent company, is launching a public self-driving car service this year in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Companies such as GM's Cruise and Intel are also testing in the state. So basically, here they are. You have major corporations testing on people, plain old people. You're crossing the road, and here comes this car, autonomous car, driving over you. And the car had a safety driver in there. Obviously, nothing happened there. It didn't work. Obviously, it was pointless having the guy in there because this woman, who is 49 years old, who has children, who has a family, is dead. And she's dead because of a self-driving car. So I'm going to call this murder because the people that put these things on the road have no business putting them on the road. And the governor of Arizona has no business endangering people's lives. That governor needs to be held accountable. The company needs to be held accountable. The software company needs to be held accountable. And this governor is endangering the public, so he needs to go, right? And then what happens in bad weather? What happens when these autonomous cars are in snow, when they're covered in snow and they can't see the road and their sensors can't see anything? So it's a bad idea all around having these things, just like drones are a bad idea all the way around, and now people are dying. So not long ago, the same type of vehicle in Arizona flipped on its side in an accident, and they stopped the program then and then continued it, so now someone's dead. Walking across the road, the thing didn't even slow down, with a test driver inside, the woman is dead, and they can't bring her back, so you need to stop this whole thing. So Uber is putting a stop to this for now, and they're going to continue at some point. But what about these other companies? And what about politicians that put you at risk? You know, what about your civil liberties? What about the Bill of Rights? You have a right to life, and then no company should take that right away from you. But there it is, right there in your face. You know why? Money talks, and that's what they're all about. So with all that, let's celebrate today with your daily calendar. Today is Alien Abduction Day, also known as Extraterrestrial Abductions Day. So yes, come take me away. Come take me away. Back in 2008, the Toronto-based toy company Happy Worker hosted the one-day Alien Abduction Festival on March 20th. The point of the event was to celebrate all things extraterrestrial and sci-fi for alien fanatics and creative types alike. Happy Worker did not take credit for creating the holiday, noting that it existed before 2008. No one knows who created the day or for what specific purpose, but I assume it's a special day chosen by our alien overlords themselves. Every year on March 20th, they swoop down and select humans from around the globe for a personal tour in their spaceship, along with a unique opportunity to take part in various exciting testing procedures. The event even includes a free UFO ride, alien birthing room, tin hat tailoring, and a free colonoscopy. So this is the day you think about all those people who are like in Eastern Texas saying, I got abducted by a UFO and I got probed. And every alien abduction that I've heard basically didn't go very well for the people, and they treated them like a science experiment. And then, yes, some of them are flakes and some of them are out there, but I believe some of their stories, or I believe that they believe it. So to celebrate this day, listen to UFO radio. Listen to Joe Montalvo talk about aliens, and he's got a great show about people who come on, say they've been abducted and whatever. Listen to that type of stuff because it's surely interesting. Today is also Snowman Burning Day. So this day marks a change in seasons and the transition from winter into spring. This is a traditional celebration by American and Swiss citizens to mark an end to winter. Why not celebrate by designing a flammable snowman and inviting friends to share in the fun? Some events involved elaborate spectacles up to and including exploding snowmen. Every year, on the first day of spring, students at Lake Superior State University burn a snowman to celebrate the end of winter. The inspiration for this unique tradition comes from the Rose Sunday Festival in Germany. The mayor of each town burns a straw snowman if the children of the town have been well behaved all year. The smoke rising from the bonfire is supposed to ward off blizzards and usher in the spring season. The first snowman burning day in the U.S. took place in 1971. An LSSU student club called the Unicorn Hunters organized the event and established several traditions, including the annual poetry competition. Students, faculty, staff, townspeople, and kids in the community compose poems about the snowman burning and recite them during the event. So, get your snowman stuff together, burn your snowman, have fun doing it, make sure it's not all toxic and plastic and like you're going to mess up the air and all that, but have fun doing it nonetheless. Today is also International Astrology Day. So International Astrology Day takes place on the day the spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere occurs, and therefore in 2018 on March 20th, which is today. The date was chosen since it is one of the most important dates for astrology and astronomy. International Astrology Day is an annual observance which is celebrated by astrologers and astrology enthusiasts. It was initiated by the Association for Astrological Networking in 1993 and replaced the previous observance called Astrology Awareness Weekend. It is seen by astrologers as the beginning of the astrological year. It is the first full day of the astrological sign of Aries and thus marks the beginning of the tropical zodiac. So, what's your horoscope today? Check it out. Think about astrology today and think about fortune telling. Why not, man? Today is Ravioli Day. Raviolis are a traditional type of Italian filled pasta made up of a filling sealed between two layers of thin egg pasta dough. The ravioli are usually served in either a broth or with a pasta sauce. A variety of filling recipes are available, from cheesy to meaty. It may seem daunting to even consider making ravioli from scratch, and indeed, there are many good ready-made versions available if you are pressed for time or lacking in the confidence. However, you don't even need a pasta maker to make a nice raviolo, a large single-filled pasta shape for your dinner. Simply roll out part of your pasta dough very finely on your worktop, fill it with a filling of your choice, seal it with a top layer of pasta. You gotta use kind of a fork to like fork the edges to keep it all shut, and then boil it for 2 to 3 minutes. Serve with a tomato or cream-based sauce for a memorable meal on this day where we salute the ravioli. So get your ravioli on today, man. Have some ravioli today and think about Ravioli Day. Today's also World Storytelling Day. The aim of World Storytelling Day is to celebrate the art of oral storytelling with as many people as possible around the world telling and listening to stories in their own languages on the same day. People taking part can link up with others around the globe who are also contributing, making it a truly international festival that creates new friends and promotes positive understanding of cultures around the world. So go on, sit down with your friends and loved ones and join the United Nations of Storytellers on this day of celebrating cultural folklore and the art of oral storytelling. Why not spin a yarn and pass down your stories to the next generation? So if you think about it, when you look at Native American tribes, they tell healing stories, and then there's a lot of different stories that people sit around and listen. You know, before there was TV, before there was radio, you had just people telling stories to one another. Think about that while you're telling your story today. Today is also Won't You Be My Neighbor Day. So Won't You Be My Neighbor Day is a day to remember and honor Fred Rogers, that iconic children's TV presenter of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. His show reached its heyday in popularity back in the 1970s and 1980s, and reruns can still be seen today. Gentle, soft-spoken Mr. Rogers was a mainstay for preschoolers and their parents, teaching them that respect of those around you and a good attitude were just as important as learning your colors and letters. Why not don the 70s-style sweater today and speak softly to your partner? Be mindful of how you can show kindness and patience in explaining a simple concept to a child or perhaps even to a work colleague. After all, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor, and a beautiful day for being neighborly. I used to love watching Mr. Rogers. He was a really interesting person, a nice guy. I think he genuinely cared about kids. And then when you look at the contrast of other shows at the time, like Sesame Street, Sesame Street teaches kids how to judge. Big contrast, and then Mr. Rogers never did any of that. So look up the history of Mr. Rogers or get the book about Mr. Rogers because he's a very interesting guy. Today is also International Day of Happiness. This day was introduced by the General Assembly of United Nations during 2012 and was celebrated for the first time in 2013. So if you ever wonder what the United Nations does, that's what they do. They make a General Day of Happiness for the whole world, and most third world countries are unhappy. They don't do anything about that, right? So through seminars and educational tips and tools, the aim is to educate and increase public awareness of the benefits of happiness. The original idea came from the Kingdom of Bhutan in the Himalayan region of Asia. There, the population is thought by many to be amongst the happiest in the world due to the holistic approach to life and the amount of importance which is placed on the well-being of people and communities as much as material wealth. For everyone, the day is a useful reminder that general happiness does not necessarily come from buying and consuming or from being famous or glamorous, but often from friends, family, and emotional well-being. Internationally, there are many events and websites in which people may participate. So how about this? Let's promote happiness all through the world and go to the poor communities where kids are eating rats and drinking mud water and actually give them some water to drink and give them some food to eat and help them and get rid of those warlords who control those areas. And this is like the hypocrisy of the UN. You can have this happiness day, but it's hard to celebrate happiness day while you're eating rats, suffering from disease, and drinking mud water. So yeah, today is also National Agriculture Day. So this is a day for all to recognize and celebrate the abundance provided by agriculture across the United States. American agriculture plays a very critical economic and food security role in the U.S. Farm co-ops, universities, 4-H clubs, agricultural associations, FFA clubs, businesses, and other organizations at the city, county, and state levels celebrate with a variety of events that give the general public an opportunity to see how their food, clothing, and other products get from the farm to you. These events also demonstrate the economic impact agriculture has on society. And those little farms are going to the wayside, and the big corporate farms are buying them up and moving in. The big corporate farms are getting the big tax breaks, the little farms aren't, and then we're seeing the degeneration of farming families in America, which is a travesty. And believe me when I say, you don't want to trust the big corporations with your food as your only food source. So think about that on Agriculture Day. And today is the first day of spring. Spring begins. So spring began at 9:16 a.m. this morning. Spring begins on the March or vernal equinox, which is when the amount of sunshine is approximately 12 hours long. The amount of sunlight will incrementally increase until the first day of summer. The vernal equinox marks the moment the sun crosses the celestial equator. This is the imaginary line in the sky above the Earth's equator from south to north. This happens on March 19th, 20th, or 21st every year. The time the sun crosses the equator marking the vernal equinox is different for each time zone. For those in the Pacific, Mountain, and Central time zones, this will occur on March 19th. For those in the Eastern time zone, spring begins on March 20th. So, celebrate spring today. Think about the little bunnies out there. Think about the flowers popping out. I look out of my window and I see snow and ice still. So, I think that Mother Nature needs to think about spring for us here in upstate New York. And because it's the first day of spring, it is also Ostara. And we're going to talk about Ostara and Ostara's traditions. Spring or the vernal equinox arrives between March 20th and 23rd, also known as Lady Day or Alban Ealer, which is the Druidic term. As spring reaches its midpoint, night and day stand in perfect balance with light on the increase. The young sun god now celebrates a sacred marriage with the young maiden goddess who conceives. In 9 months, she will again become the Great Mother. It is a time of great fertility, new growth, and newborn animals. The next full moon, a time of increased births, is called the Ostara and is sacred to Ishtar, the Saxon lunar goddess of fertility, from whence we get the word estrogen, whose two symbols were the egg and the rabbit. So the Christian religion adopted these emblems for Easter, which is celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon following the vernal equinox. The theme of the conception of the goddess was adapted as the feast of the Annunciation, occurring on the alternative fixed calendar date of March 25th, the earlier date of the equinox. Lady Day may also refer to other goddesses such as Venus or Aphrodite, many of whom have festivals celebrated at this time. So, traditional foods on Ostara, leafy green vegetables, make a nice salad, dairy foods, put some cheese in it, nuts and seeds such as pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, pine nuts, things like that, flower dishes and sprouts, eat them up, herbs and flowers, the daffodil, the jonquils, the woodruff, violet, gorse, olive, peony, iris, and all spring flowers. The incense is jasmine, rose, strawberry, floral of any type, and the sacred gemstone is jasper. So the special activities for Ostara, if you're getting into it, planting seeds or starting a magical herb garden, taking a long walk in nature with no intent other than reflecting on the magic of nature and our Great Mother and her bounty. So think about all of that while you're walking around your nature, while you're eating your nuts and seeds, while you're having your salad, while you're thinking about fornication maybe or whatever you're thinking about on Ostara. This is Michael Angley for the Daily Update and the Daily Calendar for Tuesday, March 20th, 2018 on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Past Christiane.